your number one station, your official station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron. And this week, we're scratching the itch to lie to you. You guys know how we said we were about done with Shiprock coverage?
You're a liar.
Was I the only one that officially said that?
No, I'm just joking. I don't know. No.
Well, Dan saw a show this week. And the reason he saw it, which I'm going to ask him about, was because a couple of the bands on the lineup were bands that he liked that were on Shiprock. And so since we're going back for encores here, we got to talk about it. And it gave me an idea to talk about another Shiprocked encore. And so we're going to play a quick little game before we get into this concert review called The Itch Books Shiprocked 2025.
I mean, to be fair, I would have gone to this concert regardless if they were on Shiprocked or not. It was just weird seeing them on Shiprocked and then seeing them like a month later.
Yeah,
that was the weird part.
I'm interested to hear about that, the kind of dynamic differences, but we'll get to that in just a minute here. So we set up a couple of parameters because I think all good games need some degree of those. We are each going to be bringing three holdovers, bands that were on the ship this year that we want to come back next year. Three returnees, not from this year, but who have been on the boat before. And three newcomers, bands that have never performed on Shiprock before. This is not a draft, so feel free to overlap. If you have the same choices as somebody else, just double down. That just means they must be that much more awesome.
You read my mind. I was wondering that. Because, I mean, we could cover a lot more bands if we don't overlap, but...
Yeah, that's true.
And I wrote more than three down so that whenever it's my turn on some of these, I can give some new ones in addition to the ones, to seconding many of the ones that I know you guys are going to say. We've already had some of these discussions offline anyway, so this is kind of regurgitating stuff we've already talked about.
That's true. And the reason why, you know, we have discussed this is because Shiprocked actually sends out a survey. They ask you these same things and you get to fill out like the bands. That's one of the coolest things ever, because like, I don't know if there's a way that like any other festival can do that. Like, I mean, unless they get your email, just like how, you know, like, hey, fill out this survey. Who do you want at the next festival? Now there's not many that will actually take that advice and then put it into action. It's not just like with the bands too. It's like with your feedback. And, there's been some controversial changes because of the surveys, but I think that they have all been very, very, I'm not going to talk about what they are, but I just want to say, I think they've all been positive in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
I think so. So we're going to see if we can have a little bit of extra influence, because frankly, the main reason I want to do this is because I'm hoping we can somehow get this episode to the ears of Alan, the man who is in charge of Shiprocked, because that would be delightful.
Well, he definitely knows who we are.
True. Apologies, Alan, if you hear this and remember the time we kind of bum rushed you. So which category do we want to start with, and who wants to kick us off?
I think we should start with new bands. I mean, the reason why is because Shiprock does a great job of turning their bands over. There's very few holdovers every year, so they have covered a lot of ground with the amount of bands that have been on that festival in the boat. On the boat.
Fair enough.
In the festival. Same thing, right?
Yeah. So, all right, then. Dan, who do you think we should be bringing onto this boat next year that's never done it before?
Well, I have a couple of like up and coming people that I think would be perfect for the boat. One is a band that I fell in love with like a year and a half ago. They're like very new metal-y, a band called Silent Theory. I just think that this would be perfect place for them, give them good exposure. They apparently don't like touring. So here, you know, get on the boat and finally get to see them, I guess.
There we go.
So that would be my first band.
All right.
I guess it's the only way I can see them live. The next one, just because every time I see the Atrium, I just think that, man, it would be so fucking cool to see Cam Cole sitting there playing the fucking Atrium for however the hell long that dude wanted to play. Like, you know, he'd be there all fucking day and night if they let him. So that would be my next one, Cam Cole. I think he would be so incredible. It's not just in the Atrium, but obviously in other places like the Aft Lounge and, you know, even on the deck. But just seeing him in that Atrium, I think would just be absolutely amazing.
We talked about it a little bit before, and because Cam Cole got his start and still does do street busking,
Yeah.
I thought it would be hilarious if he was on the ship, but he never had any official set times. He would just do pop-up shows randomly in various places.
Right. Just set up his amp random places.
Yeah. And you just know, like in the hallway on floor 8. Yeah.
But the coolest part about that is that with Shiprock, do you never know who would actually just join him too? Like it would just be like some other random artist like, oh yeah, dude, yeah, let me just start singing for you, man. Yeah, sure, let's do this.
Oh yeah. It would be fantastic. And number three.
And number three, I apologize because I'm pretty sure this band has not been on the boat, but I could be wrong. Would be Head PE.
They have not.
Okay, that's what I thought. I don't know. I think that they've come a long way. I think that they have had a lot of fun, and I think they would be a lot of fun on this type of situation. I think that it's also kind of the right crowd for Head PE as well.
Mm. Yeah. No, I like agree. That. I like that one. And I think that's one thing that I think Shiprock kind of need. I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, and as a podcast that talks to new up and coming bands, I love that they're so in tune as we are, kind of on the same wavelength. But I think they need a couple quote unquote legacy acts to be on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm hoping one of you will mention the other ones because, there's a band that we've interviewed that I actually put on my survey that I consider like a legacy act that I would think would be perfect as well. But I will let the floor be yours before I blurt that out.
All right. Who do you got, Casey?
All right. My three. First one would be Des Rocks.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. He was also on my survey.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just think, for him and the way he is with his fans, and the way that their fans of his are, that would be next level on a cruise ship. I don't know if he has any fear of cruise ships or anything like that, but
seems unlikely. But you never know.
You never know. One that I don't know how he would be on the ship, but I would love to see Mammoth WVH on Shipwrecked.
Yeah, it would be cool. You know, they'd be pulling him out to do Stowaway set too. Be like, hey, come on, yep. Wolfie, come out, do some Stowaway songs.
Especially next year. I mean, when they're doing this like sort of 80s theme.
Oh, yeah.
They're pulling really cool. Wolfie in to do Van Halen covers. And he's going to be like, no, not guys.
He's just like, leave me alone for a minute. All the time.
Every day.
Right. So I don't know how he would be on a cruise ship, but I as far as a musician, I would love to see it.
Totally.
But another legacy act that I would like to see for the first time, and yet again, I don't know how he would be on the boat, but Bush, I think, would be pretty awesome.
Oh. That would be interesting, yeah.
I don't think that they have been.
Don't think so either.
As far as like high profile, like there's a certain level to which at a band, I'm like, I don't think that they would actually, you know, want to be there or do that well. They might be at that level, but I also feel like Gavin is the kind of like personal guy that would probably be okay with it. I don't know.
Especially now.
It's close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're right on that fringe, but I think that would be a good one.
I mean, it'd be a great headliner. To be honest, I think they'd be an amazing headliner.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking too.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to bring three here and I endorse all what you guys just said. Cam Cole and Des Rocks were very high on my considerations here, but because you use them, I'm going to do three different ones. First off, a band that you guys have seen, I haven't, but I know that they would slay on the ship, and that's Bloody Wood.
Nice.
Indian metal. They're freaking hilarious. That boat would adore them, and they would, I don't know, they would probably rock us into another island. And so, so I'm starting with them for sure. Second, another one of those bands that I think would gain a lot of eyes on like the smaller stages, another band that we've spoken to is Calva Louise.
Yep.
Their live set is solid, and this year's cruise had a lot of acts that I think are kind of contemporary to them, so I think now maybe next year is their year to join.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I agree. And acts in the past, like Nova Twins is very, you know, similar to Calva Louise.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And then third, I know you guys love this one. I'm putting this one just because not only would they be a great set, but because I would love to be on the boat with them. And that's the guys from Chemical Fire. Yes. And maybe by Shiprock 2025, they will have more than two songs out. We'll see. but even if they don't, we know they have enough songs for a great set. So.
Yeah.
The other band that was on my survey that I just want to mention was Taproot. I just think
solid. I don't believe they've done it either. Yeah,
no, they have not. I don't know if Steven would get on a boat. That's so that would be the real question.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some holdovers, maybe. Who are you going to bring back from this year?
Well, personally, I have to start with I Prevail. Like, I feel like they got gypped out of being the double headliner. So they didn't even really get a headlining set at all, period. So I definitely want I Prevail to come back.
This is a make good. You're here to make up for last year. That's fair.
Yes. And if you're going to keep going with me, I would say probably Fury and Few, just because they were amazing. They did, built a little cult following by the end of the ship and by the end of the cruise. And my last one, just because I really liked having the punk aspect to the Shiprock Cruise lineup. And I think that obviously they continue to release more and more songs as we go along here. So I definitely want some Winona Fighter to come back, get on the bigger stages.
Yeah,
that's right.
Agree with all of those. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those were actually two of the ones that I was strongly thinking. Fury and Few is a must. Again, I'm thinking, who do I want to see? And also, who do I want to hang with if possible? Yeah. And 100% we got to have Fury and Few back if we're booking this so we can hang some more. Winona as well, though I mostly said hi to them in passing more than actually like sitting and conversing for too long.
Right.
But I'll go next on this one. And on that same note, I mean, it's a given. We got to bring back Eva. It's just a natural.
Absolutely.
What's this cruise without the friends? You gotta, vacations are always better with friends, so the more the merrier there. I'm going for Eva Under Fire for one of them. I'm gonna go with Tiger Cub for another return, because whether or not we ever have them on the show, it was just fun to see Jamie's 7-foot self all over the boat. He's such a sweet guy, and they put on such a killer set. And so that's my number two. And same rationale, since you've already added Fury and Winona to this thing, I'm going with another band I just loved seeing, and that's The Warning.
They were on my list, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Warning blew me away twice. So they're not there for the social element so much, just as the I would love to see more of them. And by next year, they will also have a new album out. So a whole slew of new songs to be part of that set list. So that'll be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And I loved the fact that they like kind of impromptu jumped in there for the Stowaway set. Like, that was, I don't think that they were planned to do that at all. I think that was just them being like, hey, let's do this. Let's just rock out. Why not?
Yeah.
it was a lot of fun. We all had fun watching.
All right, Casey, remember, you can second stuff if you want. You don't have to have fresh bands.
That's true. And honestly, Eva and Tiger Cub were going to be two of the ones on my list. But I'll go ahead and throw... I'll go ahead and throw two out there in addition.
Okay.
Dorothy, just because they're awesome and we love hanging out with Sam Bam.
For sure. Yeah.
And then also Dead Poets Society, because they just kill it every time they're on stage.
And huge favorites from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sam would love that we booked Tiger Cub to come back.
Exactly.
So that he could sit and be in awe of them again. And so I think everybody wins on that one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. How about returnees to wrap this up? I can go first if you want. I don't care.
Because okay. I have a lot of them on here, so I'd prefer.
I think there are some returnees that we're pretty much in unanimous agreement about, so I'm going to skip over them and let you guys have them. And I'm going to go with a few different ones. Yeah.
All right.
One. And these are very off the wall ones, actually. But since they have been there before, which kind of surprised me, I'm going with it. One is the Dead Deads.
Uh-huh.
But with a caveat, Daisy has to be with them. Because as much as I love seeing them live and their last album ruled, Daisy is the one that we liked, and she would be fun to hang out with on that boat. Hope she's doing well. She's not been part of the band for a minute, and I don't know what she's really up to. But if I could get them with her, that would be great.
Yeah.
Rumors is that she's making her money. Scroll.
Like, yes.
She's like successful in whatever business she is doing.
In the corporate world or something.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm
corporate Daisy Sounds like a wild concept. She was literally the most hippie interview guest we've had.
Yes, yes.
So, but anyway, speaking of bands that are no longer in the full way that we knew them, I'm going to bring back a band that I was shocked was even ever on Shiprocked, and that's Children 18-3. We talked about having that punk spirit with some Wynonna. These guys totally have that punk spirit. They've been inactive. Their final album came out, I don't know, 8 years ago or some such. And, you know, they're not an active band right now. And frankly, to be honest, as much as I loved them when they were, I don't necessarily love or agree with all of the, shall we say, fandoms they've become a part of in the meantime. But they put on a stinking killer set and the energy would be infectious. And I would love to have them back for just a reunion show on this boat. So I'm bringing Children as a total rando. And number three, we need more headliners on this set that we've booked here. So I'm bringing in one that I'm quite excited about. And that is The Biscuit. Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit has been on the boat before. And in our fantasy world, they're coming back.
Yeah, I don't, from what I hear, I don't think Fred had a good time, but I don't know.
He would this time.
Yeah.
Now he's dad vibes, Fred. So, you know, it's a different world now.
Yeah,
that's funny.
All right. Who else wants to bring back some bands from the past?
You go ahead, Dan.
Well, since I'm going second, I'm going to knock out some big names then, and hopefully you'll cover some of the other ones, because my list is littered with bands, and you didn't cover one of them, Aaron.
I know. That's like I said, I'm leaving the ones I know somebody's going to say for you guys to say.
Yeah, well, what if I don't want to say those?
Then I'm going to say them anyway after we're done.
Okay. What if I want to say somebody like that too? Now, you're talking headliners. I absolutely would bring Papa Roach back.
Yeah,
I think I've heard. For one, they were actually a part of the greatest Shiprock memory that I was not a part of, obviously, but from what I've heard and seen videos of, where they were playing in one of the lounges. It wasn't on the Magic, so it was a different boat. And they basically brought the ceiling down while they were playing. The ceiling literally dropped and busted
injured. No,
I don't know if it injured anybody, but they definitely broke.
Is there footage of this?
Yeah. There it is.
I'm looking that up when we're done.
Yeah. Papa Roach breaks the ceiling at Shiprocked or something like that.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I would absolutely love them to come back. I mean, I don't know. They're pretty big and they might be too big for the boat, but I did hear the last time that Jacoby was on the boat, he walked around with security, so I don't know if he would like be willing to introduce himself to people, which that would be the other reason why just the opportunity to possibly meet Jacoby Shaddix would be amazing.
Yes.
At the same time, you know, there are bands that aren't always, that not every member is super outgoing, that not only have been on the boat, but have come back. Like Badflower's been on Shiprock like 5 times. Yeah. And Josh, you don't see Josh very often. Like he's a pretty stay to himself person, but he still keeps coming back. Yes. So, yeah. I mean, not with security, but nonetheless, I don't know. I feel like some of those bands could pull it off. And, you know, if they have to kind of hibernate instead of being out and about, as long as they're okay with that, then whatever, that's their choice.
Yeah. My other headliner would be Skindred. Yeah, they've been on the boat a couple times, and I want to see this band live again. I haven't seen them live since like 2005, and that's not fair.
That is not fair. That's the way to put that. That is borderline criminal. Something is illegal is happening here.
Yeah, exactly. I shouldn't be reduced to watching online videos. Of the Newport helicopter. Damn it. I want to participate. No, I'm sure.
That's right.
and then I think the third band to throw on, there's lots of them. Just because I don't think Casey's going to say this one. I was really disappointed that I missed them when I was on the boat. And so I really, really would love to see the Dropout Kings. Mm. Also, because when he was on the boat, I saw that dude everywhere. And I did like, I knew he was in a band. It just didn't dawn on me. Like, I don't know. I just didn't know who Dropout Kings was. And I was a fan of their other stuff, but like the album that they released right after Shiprock, the Riot Music album, was, I mean, it's a awesome, like, I absolutely love that album, and I really wish that I'd be able to see that album played live. Not to mention hang out with him and talk with him, because he was very personable. He was all over the boat talking with everybody. Both the guys, from what I understand.
Yeah, they seem like a cool band that would adjust well to the boat.
Yeah, he even played like on Islander's set. He played, or I don't know if it was Islander. It was some other band. He played guitar for them. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. But yeah, it was Wargasm. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lead of Dropout Kings played guitar for Wargasm.
Nice. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he was awesome.
All right, Casey, you going to finish this off for us?
I'll close it out. All right. So I'm going to hit up some big acts here. I think it'd be awesome to see Filter.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Filter's been on the boat a couple times in the early years. I think Chevelle would be great.
They've been on the boat?
You're never gonna.
I miss that one.
Man. They have.
Yeah.
I miss some damn good years, that's for sure.
I'm never going to turn down some Chevelle. They are always welcome.
Agreed. So those are two heavy hitters. And we can't leave out the homies, the Oxymorons.
Yeah, they definitely are on my list. Woo,
right in under the wire. Casey with the 11th hour. I left the Oxymorons specifically. They were like, them and Skindred were like my tie number one picks here. And I was like, surely these guys will cover them both, right?
Yeah. To throw some more on there, though, I definitely would love to see Varsity, because I did not actually get the chance to see them on the boat. I just seen Joey on the boat like twice.
Yeah.
Lots of Joey.
Yeah. I also want to throw in Aaron Jones as well.
Yeah.
He was so personable. He was all over the boat. He was such a nice guy to talk to. And they were so awesome live.
Yeah.
So that gives us, I think about 28 bands or so we just spoke on there, which is,
there we go.
That's loosely the number list of bands that were on there this year, I think. 25 to 30, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I think we've just successfully booked this. We've got a number of legit headliners. let's book it. Let's do it.
We might be a little headline heavy, but who cares?
Actually, probably a little headline heavy, but you know, that's why it's like fantasy booking.
Chevelle, Limp Bizkit, yeah.
Papa Roach, Skindred, yeah.
Papa Roach, yeah. I think the boat would sink. That's definitely heavy.
I Prevail would get bumped out of a headline slot again because there's bigger names this year.
That'd be great.
I Prevail.
But that's a sick lineup, though.
Two sets in the AF lounge.
But I Prevail will get to see Wynonna Fighter again, and that's all that matters. So they will be excited for that. Everybody wins. All right. Now, the reason we played that game was because we realized that when only one person goes to a show, there's not as much to talk about as if they have somebody to play off of. Dan was the only guy that got to see the recent Beartooth concert. And so we wanted to kind of pad this with a related thing before kicking it over to him. Beartooth, one of the headliners of this year's Shiprocked. And apparently Dan liked him so much, he wanted to go see him again.
Yeah, we went and saw Beartooth live, and the show was opened by Sleep Theory, and then it was Invent Animates and The Plot and You. Okay. I got it. And I'll go into why those are hard to remember later. So we drove all the way out to Pops, and I was quite proud of myself because I decided to go a different way instead of letting my GPS tell me how to get there.
Dan and his GPS adventures getting to Pops. Man. I love that you've been to Pops like 50 times and still have to GPS it. That's great in itself.
Well, I wouldn't have to if they didn't build the bridge and move the highway around the damn city, whatever. I'm from St. Louis. I've lived here all my life. I know this city in and out, like at least how to get it everywhere. I don't know anyway, but like
the outskirts.
Yeah. About like 10 years ago, they built a new bridge and they basically shifted the highways to where you cannot really get on like my main highway that I live off of. You cannot get on the bridge that goes to Sauget. So you have to get on the bridge that goes to East St. Louis, drive through East St. Louis to get to Sauget.
Yeah.
And so I I figured out the bridge that still goes over to Sauget directly. I was like, oh, it's Highway 40. I'll just get on Highway 40 and just go straight. And it worked.
It worked. He's figured it out.
And so the show, doors opened at 5:30. 6:30 was the start of the show. Bands went on after that. So I'm mentioning that because I don't know how many times we've been going to shows recently where they're like, doors are at such and such time, and they're not open at such and such time. And so
this is not a Red Flag exclusive problem, apparently.
No, it is. It's like every venue. And so this one was crazy because like we pull into the parking lot and it was the most packed parking lot I've ever seen Pops have, especially because we were early. We got there at like 6:00 and guess what? Doors weren't open. So we got our tickets from Will Call. We waited in the longest fucking line I've ever seen at Pops. I will give them credit. They moved that line a hell of a lot quicker than any other venue I've ever seen. I mean, they were moving it. Honestly, they were moving faster than the people because they were like, hey, like, you know, they were like yelling at people like this way, this line, move, move, move. I'm like, come on, keep it fucking moving, man. People are like, what? Oh, I got to stop. Oh. Yeah, they did. They had a system. They were functioning properly if people were paying attention, but people were not paying attention all the time.
Yeah.
We get in there. We got to the left, which was crazy because it was already packed. And so we like managed to find a place where we could see on the left side. We saw Sleep Theory, which they were fantastic. They played, you know, they only played a 30-minute set. So it was a little different from their Shiprock set because Shiprock, they just played a whole bunch of new songs, tons of new stuff. They're like, oh, this is another new song. Hey, we got another new song for you. We got another new song. They pretty much played their entire EP plus two new songs, and that was their set. They sounded great. They harmonized great. They were fantastic. The crowd loved them. And like, it's crazy to me how many people listen to Octane in St. Louis. Because they basically are like, if you guys have listened to Octane, you're probably familiar with this next song. And they started playing Numb, and everyone knew every single line.
Nice.
Whole song.
I hate when that happens.
No, I don't hate it. I just think it's funny because, like, that means that more people are paying for internet, you know, for radio around this town than they're listening to the free shit. Because it's just going. Oh, well,
with that in mind, it's time for me to plug some things. For one, if you want some free rock radio, tune into The Itch every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Yes. Central Time on 89.1 KCLC FM. Also, if you want to hear more about Sleep Theory, check out episode 180. I'm bringing back the referencing the episodes.
Yes.
Just this once.
Yeah.
And you can hear more about their performances on our Shiprock review. We go a little bit more in detail in those reviews. Because, there's not much else to say. That, like I said, you know, they were great. The crowd loved them. The next band came on that was Invent Animate. And we try to be positive on this show. So the only thing that I will say about this band is that they were your generic metal band.
All right.
It was just
that's
kind
the positive
of,
thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, the guy was dressed really interesting for sure.
Okay.
I thought you were about to say, and then you shifted to interesting.
No. Yeah.
He had like this white, like half cut, like frayed jacket. Yeah. It was weird. And so
most of their press photos, they like all just wear white pretty much.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, just not my thing. And, you know, he was, I don't know. They were just very generic. And fair so enough. After that, we tried to like go over to the Sleep Theory merch booth just to see if like there was somebody was there over there. And I was going to plan on getting a shirt and getting it signed. Oh my God. Like, it was so fucking packed. I have never seen that many people in Pops. Like, so we tried to get to the other side and then like, we just got stuck. nobody was moving, like nobody could move anywhere. And then all of a sudden, the people that were next to us apparently just got mad that they were standing there and they couldn't see where they, you know, they couldn't see the show, the stage anymore. And so they just left, and that freed up the whole area. Like, it was so packed, nobody could get through the damn place from left to right. It was insane.
Yeah.
And so we finally made it. Like, it was like an ordeal too to get to the other side. Like, I don't think I'm claustrophobic, but like shit like that always really gets under my skin. Like, I just, I, cause I'm always like, oh my God, get, just let me through, let me through, let me through. Like, and I get to the point where I do start shoving people to get the fuck out of there. Like, I just, like, I'm sorry. Like, I will start bowling you over if you're in my way. Like, get out of my way. You see that I'm coming through. If there's not like a channel, make one. Like, cause I will, if you don't.
Part in the sea of humanity.
Exactly. So we get over to the merch booth, and Paolo's over there, and I kind of walk up to the booth, and he's like, "Hey, I remember you." And he comes over and gives me a hug. It was funny. And nice. So we get to talk, and I was like, you know, how's the rest of your cruise? And he said he had a great time. I did not realize that they had been on this tour with Beartooth since like January 11th. He said it's a 9-week tour. And St. Louis is basically the third to last stop. And so he said he was just exhausted and waiting to get to his own bed. I was like, I can't even imagine that, dude. 9 weeks. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like Beartooth, when they went on stage, they mentioned it a couple of times. That it was the longest fucking tour ever. they said his specific words. He said it was the longest tour ever.
I don't think that those of us who are not, you know, in bands or have careers that involve that much travel understand what a grind a long tour has to be for most bands, unless you're in a lap of luxury, which most bands are not. And even then,
yeah,
it's not easy work. Even if you're like, oh, you'd play a couple hours, you play an hour every night. That's all you got to do. And yeah, that's not all you got to do.
No. So, well, and the standard is like 3 to 4 weeks. So
yeah.
Doing 9 is triple that.
Yeah, with Shiprocked we'll in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe sometime we'll have like a tour manager or something on, or a bus driver or something, and like really get like into the nitty gritty of like tour life and what it's like.
Dude, yeah. I would love to interview Chuck Driver. I'm not going to lie. He's a non-points driver. Noted.
Yeah.
We've talked with him before.
Chuck Driver's the best name in the world.
I know, man. It's awesome. The dude was super cool as too. You know, he's awesome as shit.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to interrupt. I just problem. You had me thinking about that.
Yeah.
So Paolo was over there. He signed my shirt. There was nobody else over there at the time. So we tried to maybe go back to the other side where we were. That was not happening. So we found a spot basically at the end where we could see just in time for the Plot and You to take stage. They were okay. Like, their music was, at times it was good, times it was meh. The one thing I will say, though, is like the lead singer, he didn't sound anything like this, but he was up on stage like giving off Chester Bennington vibes.
Yeah,
interesting.
He looked like him a little bit, like, because he was wearing like a sock cap and like his mannerisms. He was very Chester Bennington like. Like, I mentioned it to Hannah, and she's like, "Yeah, I do kind of see that now." And I don't know if it was intentional, but it was just, it's just the impression that I got.
Yeah,
the Plot and You is a band I've been kind of interested in. I've not really sat down and just been like, I'm gonna go through their discography or anything. But they entered my radar just like last year. They put out, actually it might even been this year early, I don't know. But they put out this just full on ripper of a song called Divide. And I'm sure that they played it. You probably wouldn't have recognized it per se, since I don't think that you've listened to them very much either. But yeah, they have some good songs in there. I have no idea how many, but apparently enough that you didn't hate it, but not enough that you loved it. So
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like I wouldn't go see them if they were headlining, but I wouldn't avoid them if they were a supporting act, you know.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
I enjoyed watching their set, but the one thing I do want to talk about is, like, so I was not there obviously to see the Plot and You. other people around me were not there to see the Plot and You. But was I talking during the Plot and You? No, I was not. the fucking people in front of me, though, oh my God. Like, just yap. Like, you know, Pops is, that's so fucking infuriating, too, because, like, I get it if you're not there to see that particular band, that's fine. And I also get it that, you know, there's some places, like, if you're on the left side of the venue, you probably can't walk around or go someplace to where you can get away and have a conversation. But where we were, you could have easily just walked away to where they, you know, the casino area is or the merch booth area is and gone and had your conversation. You don't have to sit there and try to scream it over the fucking music so your friends can hear you. Like, that right. shit gets on my nerves.
I agree 100%. And it blows my mind, the people that go to concerts to hang out and then have full-blown conversations. Like, that's not where you go to hang out.
And you know what's fucking annoying about that, too, is all these people most of the time will text the shit out of anybody and you're right next to them. Just text them. Just fucking text them. Like, okay? Text them. Right. You don't have to have a conversation. Just text that fucker. All right?
Yeah.
So that was the thing I wanted to say. Like, I have, and I, because I also think it's disrespectful to the band.
It's
disrespectful to the band. It's disrespectful to their fans because they're actually there trying to, like, enjoy the songs, but you're gabbing behind them, and then they're distracted by your stupid ass conversation.
Yeah. Agreed.
This has been another episode of Itch Etiquette.
Yes. Itch concert etiquette.
We have thoughts on concert etiquette.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a list and publish this in a book or some shit.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole thing at some point.
Exactly.
At least make a pamphlet out of it.
Oh, I'm going to plug something else. I'm going to plug something else related. Our friend Joey from Varsity has been doing a great little series of bits on TikTok, Instagram, whatever, wherein he's giving bands touring etiquette. I highly recommend checking it out. And not being stanky. So there you go.
A two-part series of deodorant and the importance of it.
Yeah. So he's got touring band etiquette covered. We'll have concert attendee etiquette covered. And everybody will be good to go.
So Beartooth took the stage, and they did play the same exact set as they did on Shiprocked, but there were a couple main differences. And the one main difference that I wanted to point out actually was hilarious, because he comes out and he is half naked, you know, which I expect singers do that. They get hot. I get it. You know,
also Caleb has notably undergone a physical transformation over the past couple of years. I think he's very proud of the shape he's got himself in.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's part of my theory, is like, that's why he's always got his shirt off. Cause if you got the body that he does right now, you'd want to show it off too.
That makes sense. So the first song comes out, he's no shirt. Next song, he puts on like a shirt, and I'm like, well, maybe you just get cold because, you know, they got the AC on. There's lots of people in here. It's apparently, also he said that there were 1,700 people in there. He was even shocked. He's like, I don't know how the hell they put 1,700 people in this place. He said, this is obviously going to be the last time we're playing Pops because we're selling this place out quicker than we should.
Yeah. Pops' capacity is 1,600 people, so that is a very legitimate sellout.
Oh, it was insane.
Yeah.
That's why I was by the door, just in case there was like a fire and I'm not getting trampled. Fuck that.
Dan's always thinking about safety. How do I not die at Pops? Yeah.
So they start playing the third song and he puts on like a jacket over his shirt. And I was like, all right, well, maybe he's just really cold, you know? So, like, every song he had a different shirt on. Like, it was
man, I was waiting for you to say he had more and more layers. Like, that should be a bit where someone starts a set like naked basically and then just starts adding clothes.
Just adds layers.
And then just looks like Missy Elliott with a giant like puffy trash bag all around him.
Well, that
they're
would
just
be
a little brother from Christmas Story. They can't move their arms anymore by the end of the set.
Yes.
It was so weird, though, because, like, he would have a different shirt on, and then, like, you know, he'd disappear for a second, and he'd come out, and he'd be, like, naked again. You're like, what is going on here? This dude went through his entire wardrobe in one set. Like, so that was the main difference, because he did not do that on Shiprock. He just kept the shirt off. And that was pretty much it. I think, well, he did have like a mesh shirt, which I did see again on this.
Well, I mean, it's probably the same clothes he had with him on Shiprock if they presumably went right back onto the road. So,
yeah.
And so one of the cool parts of the concert was, you know, it kind of went dark again. He ran to like the other side of Pops and the spotlight shined on him. And he starts playing Mr. Brightside acoustic. It was really cool. And that like kind of leaned into or segued into Look the Other Way, which was awesome because like he starts that acoustically. And then right when like the chorus picked in or kicks in. The band members, you know, the light shines on them and you can see that they're ready and they start playing. It was just really a cool way to do that.
That is neat. I like that.
And so the last thing I wanted to draw attention to was that his grandpa is from St. Louis. And so this show meant a lot to him because apparently this was the first show that he has played in St. Louis after his grandpa passed away. Mm-hmm. And so he said that basically, I guess every time he has been playing, for one, that his grandpa was like his biggest inspiration, and that every time he's playing, his grandpa was always there. So it was kind of the first time where he wasn't there. So he was very, very emotional. He dedicated the song "I Was Live." He said that he wrote this for his grandpa, and it was powerful. Like I don't record things. I don't think to record things. I don't know why. It's just not my mindset. I think Eva said it best, is it's just I'm not in the generation where I have a screen in front of my face all the, or I grew up having a screen in front of my face all the time. So I just don't, that's not my first thought. But that was powerful. If somebody recorded it, I would definitely recommend checking it out. It's funny because like I watch certain shows like Masked Singer and like they always say like, you know, that was powerful. I really felt the emotion. I really felt that that song meant something to you. You understand that. And like, I get what they're saying, but like, I've never really believed what they said. You know, I think that's just like crap that they put on TV just to make it sound fun. But like, I truly felt his emotion. I truly felt like that song, pouring out of him. And like, it was amazing. It was an incredible experience to see. And it was, they kind of made it seemed like that was going to be the last song of the night, and then they went off and they came back on for an encore and did Riptide in between. But and also we've talked about this before, when you know a band like Beartooth, they have all their singles and everybody knows their singles, and you don't, and you haven't heard that big single,
right?
You don't need to shout it every like, so like there's a dude on the balcony right after Riptide, he's like In Between, play In Between. Like, dude, for one, you're 200 feet from the stage. They definitely don't fucking hear you. And for two, that's like the only single that they haven't played. They're gonna play it. All right. Like, calm down. If you're so concerned about hearing your song, look it up online. Like, seriously, you don't need to sit there and shout it. They're not going to change their set list because you sat there and shouted at them. Like, that drives me nuts. Like, unless they're sitting there soliciting for a song, like, hey, what should we play? They're not going to listen to your damn recommendation. Okay. So shut up. Like, that's all I got to say. My other rant.
And usually, even if they do that and you shot something, they're like, nah, we're going to do something else.
Yeah. Exactly. I think Josh has said, oh, just because you said that, I'm going to play something else. We're not actually playing that tonight.
Exactly.
They were fantastic. After the show, I was determined to get my Sleep Theory shirt signed, and Paolo had told me, because I asked him if he knew when the other guys would be around or if they would be around, and he told me, he asked me if I was going to be around after the show, and I was like, yeah, and he's like, well, they should be hanging out after then. I was like, okay. So afterwards, sure enough, Colin is right around the merch booth. He's taking pictures, he's signing stuff, and so I was able to meet with him, talk with him a little bit. It was funny too, because when I was talking with him, I said, you know, I apologize. I didn't get a chance to run into you at Shiprocked. I was hoping that we would be able to talk and converse. But the only time I saw you, you were asleep on deck 12. And I was like, I didn't want to disturb you. And I was like, Aaron almost took a picture, but I told him, nah, man, don't disturb him.
And I wasn't like, going to take a picture.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, somebody did take a picture of me. I was like, yeah, that was Joey Varela.
It was Joey.
He's like, it was Joey, totally Joey.
Are you kidding me? I was like, yeah, man, it was Joey from Varsity. He's like, I'm messaging him right now. He's like, man.
Yeah, Yeah, you posted. I was like, hey, that's that time Cullen was sleeping on the big plastic couch that looks super uncomfortable.
And I was like, because I told Cullen, I was like, I didn't want to do that. I thought that was kind of a little bit maybe an invasion of privacy. But if Joey does it, if Joey does it, that's your peer. Like you can get away with it. I can't. Like that's for me. That's
you can fight him about it later. Like,
right.
So I gotta ask. Yeah, I presume I know the answer, but were you repping the Itch shirt at the show since it was just you and Hannah?
Yeah, yeah. I was wearing the Itch shirt with my Saul jacket because it was cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was wearing the shirt. And then
did he recognize that you from that, or did you bring that up, or was it just kind of a hey, nice to see you, random guy kind of thing?
I think he said he recognized. I wish I would have remembered to mention the tattoo thing because I think that would have like clicked. Yeah. But I think he was just having a nice interaction. I don't think he. I don't know.
Like if really recognized at that point.
Paolo.
Paolo definitely remembered, but that's because we, you know, we
hung out for a long time,
for like an hour.
Yeah.
And so I asked Colin, I was like, hey, where's Dan and Ben? He's like, oh, the boys, they're probably out of the van. I'm like, oh, I was like, do you know if they'll be coming out? And he's like, no, probably not. But you can just go knock on the van. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, just go up and knock on it. Ask them to come out. I've never done that. I don't really. He's like, nah, it's fine. Do it. It's fine. Okay. Sure.
So implied itch etiquette here. It's okay to knock on a band door if the band member says you can.
Yes.
Yes, because it was still awkward as hell. Like I went up, knocked on the window. I don't know if it was like a guitar tech or whoever, roadie or whatever, was sitting in the passenger seat, and he like slowly rolls the window down, like yes. And I was like, "Hi, my name is Dan from the Itch, and I met Ben and Dan on Shipwrecked. We had like an hour long conversation. I was just curious if they were in here so we could talk." And like, I think it was Dan. He's like, oh, hey, I remember you. He starts getting like, you hear him like coming up from the back of the van.
Yeah.
And he's like, and so the guitar or the roadie guy is like, yeah, they're in here. Like, no kidding, man. Thanks.
They gave away their spot. Everybody knows.
And so, they both came out. They definitely remember. They said that they still, it was funny because the first thing that they came out, he's like, yeah, I remember you. I still have your sticker. I was like, well, I was going to ask. I was going to make dope. Sure.
That's dope.
Like, this is a test.
Yeah.
Good job, Sleep Theory, guys. Those guys were super nice.
They were so awesome. Yeah, and they were super cool. Again, they signed my shirt, so I got all four signatures on my shirt. I was super happy. We sat and talked with them for a little bit, but it was cold as hell that night. I felt terrible. So for one, we're there, and like more people start coming up to them and talk to them. So like I did, you know, and at some point I was like, all right, we got to cut this conversation off because otherwise you're going to be harassed all night. but it was really funny because like we're standing there and like I just had him sign my shirt and somebody saw that and he's like, oh man, I loved you guys tonight. Hey, would you sign something for me? And again, I wish I could think on the fly better. I really do, but I can't. And so this guy, he starts like surfing through his wallet to find stuff, something for these guys to sign. And he gives them his license. He's like, yeah, sign my license. And like, I don't think that's legal. You're like, yeah, who cares? It's almost expired. Like,
it's almost expired. I'll retire in a couple months. It's fine.
Sign my license, please. And so they like signed the back of it, which was weird.
And the donor, almost certainly
the,
illegal.
The donor part.
They just made him a donor. That's all they did. Oh, that guy doesn't know, but he's giving away his kidneys now, so.
Yeah, Daniel says it's okay.
It's not even the dude's name. What the fuck?
I wish I would have pulled out an Itch card and got him to sign the Itch card for him, because then he would have shown all his friends off and be like, yeah, look at that, man. I got Sleep Through his signature.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think well on my feet, apparently.
That's all right.
It's all right.
But yeah, so I quickly ended that and we made it home safely. And my mom was watching the kids and she does an amazing job. And I can't thank her enough for always being able to watch my kids when I get chances like this to go to concerts and meet bands and shit.
Yeah. And definitely want to thank Sleep Theory for the interactions. And yes. Also want to thank Tim and Adam Splitter PR.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I have to admit, Tim, you really came through in the clutch. And my wife has a whole new respect for me, apparently. she said that our podcast has now reached a new level of success because we were able to get tickets to a sold out show.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Sure. Yeah.
That's like, yeah, I don't know if that's great accurate, but whatever. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Yeah. That's what it takes to get respect from your wife. Your kids, though, you still got to get Jacoby Shaddix on the show.
Get so Jacoby and
apologies.
Yeah.
One day they'll appreciate you.
Maybe.
One day Jacoby will meet Jacoby.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good time at that show. It sounds like it was ultimately still worth your while.
Yeah, absolutely.
All things considered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have missed it for.
Hey, we one of these days we're going to have to get Beartooth on here, especially now that we know that Caleb has a St. Louis connection, a very personal one.
Agreed. Yeah.
That bumps him pretty high up the list of guests we need to get.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the concert recap. I will say that it's another one of these concert recaps of a concert that's almost over, but regardless, you know, if you are curious on whether or not you want to see either Sleep Theory or Beartooth, hopefully we have conveyed you one way or another.
Yeah, one tour ends, another one's around the corner. It's fine. You can see them in some capacity.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with summer shows right around the corner.
Yeah, festival shows, too.
These are going to be all over the big festivals, so you'll have your chances.
So thank you very much for listening to the Itch Podcast. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
So until next time, remember itch etiquette and don't talk during the shows.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about the itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, I-T-C-H-R-O-C-K-S.